Morning, Elson Go. Welcome to the studio.
It's good to be back, mate.
Great topic. Hex debt. Love to know. Give us a call. The lines are open. 9313-0985. Will you be paying for your kids' higher education fees? It can be a big debt for some, can't it?
Yes, it can. And I think there's been a lot of talk about trying to push and lift up the education standards of Australians. But there's a big gap in terms of talking about and how to pay for it.
That's right. So, yeah, tell us a bit more. I mean, at one stage it was free.
Yes.
There'd be a lot of people listening that grew up between January the 1st, 1974, right through to 1988, I think.
You're showing your age. You're showing your age, Mike.
Yeah, well, Gough Whitlam introduced it, of course, when he was a Prime Minister. And then the Labor government, that was Labor. And then the Labor government also stopped it back in, could have been Bob Hawke, I think. Someone will correct me, but I think it was Hawke. So, yeah, there's a lot of people who had it for free for those 14 years. But now, and the cost.
Times have changed because in terms of the average cost for domestic students, Australia is ranked number 6 in the world in terms of fees.
You mean as in they're high?
Correct.
So what would what are we looking at? What would an average person have?
Okay, so recent changes, the government has given a has brought about an incentive. So some courses have had a up to 50% discount.
Was that recent?
Yes.
That's right.
So things like teaching, clinical, psychology, English, nursing, languages, agriculture, and maths, all would have, you would see somewhat about a 50% discount.
Okay.
Okay. But on the other hand, if you did decide to choose humanities or communications, that would have seen a 100% increase.
Okay,
so depending on what courses you select, it would be anywhere from 12,000 all the way up to 45,000.
That's a lot of money.
Now, but that's only if you complete your course in three, whatever the number of years is, and you don't swap and change.
Oh,
you see, what has happened is that a lot of universities now are charging per unit and students are working while studying. So what has gone on, and we're seeing that trend, is that people are changing halfway through or they're selecting units that they are interested in.
Change their mind?
Yes.
I've had another idea. I might go and study this.
Yes. And that would dramatically increase the cost.
Okay.
So I would say if you are preparing... you look anywhere from about 25 to maybe about 30,000. So that's a good ballpark figure.
Maximum around about 45?
45 is probably 45. The max. But that's provided, again, you don't change your mind halfway through.
Which a lot of people do.
Yes.
Now, we took a poll yesterday, and the lines are open, 9313-0985. 85% of respondents via our Instagram poll said they do not intend to pay for their kids' uni fees.
Yes.
That surprised me. I thought it might have been about 50-50, but strong, and a whole bunch of reasons why.
No, well, it'd be interesting to see what those reasons are. But sometimes I feel that if your parents have been paying for you, you'd be more inclined to pay for your kids as well. Yeah. You know, it's that kind of pay forward kind of thing.
Depends what you've grown up with, right?
Correct. And interestingly, the number of people that would have died with a student loan unpaid in Australia has gone up.
Is that right?
Correct. So you find that a lot of people, and you can rack up to more than 100,000 in debt. Because if you take, say, for example, like I said, the changing of minds, and you swap your course or you take another degree, that could considerably bring up your cost quite
what
a bit.
What happens with, who pays for that? Like, does that just get absorbed? Like, does that just get written off?
Taxpayers.
Of course. So we end up paying.
Correct.
Elson, we'll take a break. We'll come back and talk some more. Love to know, do you intend to pay for your kids' hex debt? 98.5, this is Weekdays with Mike, 9313-0985. Do you intend to pay for your kids' hex debt? Love to talk to you this morning. Interesting whether you are for it or against it, I guess.
I think there's going to be obviously two camps. And I think parents who pay for their kids' education often want to give them a kickstart. They don't want them to start off with debt.
Sure.
So they want to give... And I want to tell you an interesting story, right? Because I was at camping and there was one family. They were having breakfast.
Yeah.
And they were busy with their phone. So I said, you know, what's happening? So apparently they left their son at home, son at home, okay. and they were trying to wake him up for his lessons remotely by turning on the sound system.
Now, I'm guessing that they are paying for their
Yes, they are. And I find that people who pay are often more involved. And I see them on career days. I see them on university open days. You know, it's the parents that are taking all the pamphlets and asking the questions, you know.
Because they're paying the bill.
Correct. I think they are a bit more involved. And you know, rightly so, because, you know, it's quite a lot of money and a few more additional years. Now, we're not even talking about the living costs and all the other ancillary fees that you would rack up, things like you know, your textbooks and equipment and lodging and things like that. But on the other hand, I think parents who probably want to, you know, don't want to pay is because they want to give they're adults. I mean, once they go into higher education, they're adults, and they want them to be independent. Yes. And you know, just making sure that they are accountable and responsible for their own lives. And sometimes I suspect it could be fatigue because of all the
fatigue, as in
because they've been paying all the primary and high school costs, all the excursions that they've had. And
when my daughter finished high school, she went to private school. I was almost doing backflips with excitement, thinking, "Yoo-hoo, no more school fees!" There was no way that I was going to pay for uni fees. If she chose to go to uni, that's entirely her choice.
Yes,
she's 18; she can make that decision. Mm. There's no way we would support her in other ways, but no way was I prepared to look at the university fees.
But I think we are quite fortunate in Australia, the fact that we have this facility, this HECS, you know, this ability for us to obtain an interest-free student loan. So this is something that not all countries enjoy. And I think this is an option that we can consider. And after the break, I want to talk about if you do embark on going down the track of, okay, I want to pay for my kids' education, what are some of the things that I should consider? And what are some of the ways that I can do it such that, you know, I can be smart about my money?
On 98.5, Elson's with me. We've been talking about HECS debt. To finish off, Elson, and the lines are still open, 9313 0985. Love to get your thoughts on HECS debt. What are some of the options?
I think the first thing that you need to do is to take time to understand the implications and have a conversation with your child. Because the HECS debt does affect your borrowing capacity.
Oh.
So it is included as like an expense. So that would lower your borrowing capacity.
Okay, so you've got a HECS debt. You're about to go for a home loan. That's taken into consideration.
Correct. Okay, so that's have a conversation. Yep. You know, okay. and weigh up the pros and cons. Carefully decide on the course of study.
That has to be the big one.
Yes. There are so many people taking a second degree because after they finish the first one, they thought, I probably don't want to work in this field. I want to continue and study some more. There's nothing wrong with that, but someone has to pay.
Do you think some people just enjoy the study mode?
Oh, for sure.
Okay, the last 3 years, this has been great.
Yes.
I'm living at home. Mum and dad have got everything covered. I might just do another course.
Another three years. Or four.
And live at home.
And a lot of people are working and studying at the same time. So they have extended and dragged out that 3-year program to sometimes 4 or 6 years. Okay. And if you do want to pay for your kids' higher education costs, I think the redraw of the offset facility through your mortgage is the easiest and hassle-free option.
Why is that?
Because you're not really thinking about investments and assets. All you're doing is reducing your interest on your loan, and your money is working for you in your offset or redraw facility.
Okay.
So and what I understand, the interest rates are low, but it is a no-brainer. You don't have to think about asset allocation. You don't have to think about potential fluctuations in your capital base. It's, you know, hassle-free. Okay. And consider paying part of the fees or introduce an incentive. I like this one because some families have done this. Now, in most workplaces, the employers would pay for, if you were to go for, you know, further studies, every time you finish and you pass a particular unit, then they will reimburse you.
An employer?
Yes, employer. So I don't see why families can't do that. And I've known a few families who have done that. So if you pass first time, yeah. not after 10 times, then they
no
would
pressure.
Yeah, then they would pay the fees. I think that's pretty good, you know, like carrot and a stick kind of thing, you know.
Okay.
So I like that in terms of having that incentive, you know, you are giving that motivation to finish your studies. Be careful about about savings programs that are sometimes restrictive. You see, some savings program and some education bonds, they have got this timeline where they expect you to start after you finish your high school.
Right.
And they expect you to finish in X number of years. Now, we've seen that has changed. People are taking gap years. People are traveling before they study. People are now taking their university degrees online. And that has changed somewhat and it would affect the requirement for these particular savings programs. So every time when you go into a program that would lock you in, check out what the requirements are and have a think about whether your kid will fit into that particular program.
When should you start planning, Ilson? What do you reckon? I mean, say your kids are now in just starting high school. Is this something that you then start to consider and think about?
For sure.
And like you go, okay, what does it look like in the next 4 or 5 years when they exit the school system, if they intend to go to uni?
I think when your child is in high school, you would have a rough idea of where your child would head towards, you know. And I think that early conversation, that early preparation would probably help you out as you are nearing the completion of their year 12.
Either way. Whether it's a yes and we're going to pay or guess, hey kids, guess what?
Yeah.
We're not paying.
Yes. And one thing I want to warn listeners is that, and this is something that a lot of people would consider, if you are not preparing for more than, I would say, 8 years, okay, so if you're not preparing 8 years in advance, do not consider shares or any cryptocurrencies, okay?
Really?
Because the fluctuation of the market, we don't know. That is one cycle. So you might have hit the bad or the tail end of the cycle, and it might be a crash, and you find out that all the effort that you have done is not going to be deployed because you don't have enough capital.
wonder how that Bitcoin is going. Well, we got time to talk about that.
No.
I knew it was going to be. Yeah. Ilson, great conversation. Really appreciate you coming in today, and we'll catch up in a couple of weeks.
See ya.